B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
So we still have some Celtics calls hanging on that we didn't get to and wrap up the Sports Hub Celtics show, and we'll get to those in just a moment. But I had a story that I wanted to share with you, Chris, that I figured you would appreciate. And it popped into my mind. I hadn't thought about this in, I don't know how the hell long, but something on Twitter jarred my memory of it. And that was, I saw a lot of accolades for, and rightfully so, for Willie Mays, baseball legend Willie Mays.
Yes.
Who turned 90 years young earlier this week. And it reminded me of the time young fat Jimmy got roasted by Willie Mays.
What?
The year was 1988. And I think it was a re-release of this autobiography of Willie Mays, Say Hey. And he was signing Say Hey, the autobiography of Willie Mays. I think it was at a Walden Books. I know it was a bookstore in Downtown Crossing, if I remember correctly. We're going back, you know, what, 31 years, whatever the hell it is now.
Was it a Walden or a Borders?
I think it was pre-Borders. I'm pretty sure it was a Walden Books. Because spoiled little Jimmy, whatever the spoiled little Jimmy wanted, he got. And I was obsessed, so obsessed with all things baseball and baseball cards and autographs at this time in my life. I don't think I had turned 12 yet. I'm like 11. And Willie Mays signing, his big book signing, Say Hey, get in line, get there early. My mom takes me. I think she even let me skip school that day. Waiting in line, you get to meet Willie Mays. And like, I was just so obsessed with all things baseball. And this will lead to why Willie Mays roasted me live in person as a fat young child. Waiting in line. You got to buy the book, whatever the hell it was at the time. And then you're waiting in line. He signs it. You get up there. Now, again, keeping in mind, I'm obsessed with all things baseball card collecting, all that. And, you know, love the Red Sox, but I just loved the history of baseball, too, and some of these old-timers and collecting these old cards. So while I was there with my mom, Chris, I had one of those old-school, like, satin starter jackets, Red Sox jacket.
Oh, cool.
With a Yankee hat on. Makes no sense, I know.
Yeah.
Because the Red Sox were my team, born and raised here. But keep in mind, I loved all things baseball. I was obsessed with Mickey Mantle at the time. There was a reason I was in line as a young child to meet one of these old-time greats, and Willie Mays.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
I loved all things baseball, which is funny now because, like,
yeah, because when I was sort of the same way as a kid, and I know what you're saying, and over the years, I feel like I didn't abandon baseball. Baseball abandoned me. So I sort of know what you're saying.
Yes, yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. So, you know, wait like a couple of hours, you finally get up there, and it's like, holy crap, here's Willie Mays. And I still, the one thing, besides him roasting me, which I'll get to, like, well, the other thing I remembered, the man had the hugest hands of any human being I've ever shook to this day. And my dad's got mitts, like, you know, real dad hands. I've worked hard my whole life like dad hands. But Willie Mays' hands put my dad's to, like, shame in terms of the size, the sheer size. Huge hands. Shakes my hands. He was about to sign the book, and he gives me the once-over. Again, satin Red Sox jacket, like the warm-up jacket, Yankee cap, and he made sure he said it loud enough to roast young fat Jimmy. Red Sox jacket and Yankee hat. Boy, you got to make up your damn mind, whole crowd. And I turned beet red and felt, just the shame. I was like,
shame, shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
And he was right to do that, though.
Sorry, Mr. Mays. That's a good point.
To do a book signing in downtown Boston, in Red Sox-Yankee rivalry, which I guess I didn't understand truly at the time. Red Sox jacket, Yankee hat. Boy, you got to make up your damn mind. And I needed to, yes. And he signed my book, and off I went feeling shame. But that was the time.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I got roasted by Willie Mays in 1988.
Wow.
It just reminded me. I'll tell you, had I not seen that tweet, Chris, like, that's a guy that if you asked me Willie Mays dead or alive, I figured dead.
I knew he was alive, but I started seeing all these tributes, and I was like, did Willie Mays die?
That's what I thought initially, too.
And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I thought he was still alive. And then I was like, oh, it's the 90th birthday. They're just saying he's still alive. But the way people were saying things about him, it was freaking me out. Because I'm like, wait, did he pass away? Or when did he pass away? So the way it was being presented was throwing me off. I have to say this. So, you know, technically they say Willie Mays has 660 career home runs. I think after meeting you, it's 661. Because he smacked that one out of the ballpark.
Yeah, to roast a young child. But, and again, rightfully so. Red Sox jacket, Yankee hat. What the hell was I thinking?
I thought you were going to tell me it was some. So what year was this, 88?
It was 88.
So I thought you were going to tell me, if it was a little later, I thought you were going to tell me it was kind of like, you know, the music you were into, like the rap scene. Because for a while, like the Yankee hats were like a status symbol type thing.
No, it's because I love like Mickey Mantle and okay. like collecting old cards. And yeah. I know it makes no sense to a yeah. lot of people, but that's just what it was. Like, I just like I wanted to consume everything baseball. I really
Interesting.
Did.
So, yeah. I mean, or if you'd been like, oh, you know, yeah, I was like a big LL Cool J fan at the time. Nope. So I had like the Yankee cap. No.
Nothing like that. But I'll tell you, that man's hands. The size of a hubcap, enormous. You know, that famous catch, the over-the-shoulder catch, it makes yeah. much more sense when you... That guy's hands were just enormous. So huge. And on the opposite end, now that I think of it, Dante Culpepper, maybe the smallest hands of any pro athlete I've ever met or shook. Met
really?
Him. Yeah, it was on when I worked on that Madden thing, met him once.
Oh, remember I love the Madden thing.
But remember he had a lot of fumbles? Like
he
after
did.
That, too.
Yeah, like, he used to get like, strip sacked a lot.
I remember that. I was like, son of a bitch, now it makes all sense. All the sense in the world. Dante Culpepper, tiny little hands. All right, your Celtics calls. Joe and Lincoln, you're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello.
Well, Jim, that story explains how you went from an innocent, romantic youth to the cynical sports talk show host you are now.
It does. Really
it does. Yes, call. It does. That's a good point.
Okay, yeah. So about the Celtics, just two quick things. One, about Marcus Smart, who, you know, he's not just a role player. When Marcus Smart is playing the good Marcus Smart, which he has not this year, he has a tremendous positive influence on the whole team. And the second one, and you know, Jason Tatum and all those young guys, if they had had the Gordon Hayward that they hoped to get to kind of rein them in and have them learn the slow way they should have, who knows what would have happened. But these guys had too much success too early, and they just don't know what to do. And I blame part of that on Brad Stevens.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Joe. I think that's a good point. Is that, you remember, too, there was that sit-down that Jaylen Brown had with Taylor Rooks where he was talking about, you know, 6-7 championships he feel like he's...
He was just trying to impress her, though.
Yeah.
Which I can't blame.
Can't blame him, man.
Can't blame him one bit.
But are they victims of too much success too early?
Yes. I think that's true in this regard. I think it sort of gave them a false sense of security about, A, how easy it is to get to that round, and B, the idea that they sort of had the talent to, that they were one of these teams that was sort of in the upper echelon and could just flip the switch whenever they want. And that's not the case because there are other teams around them that have gotten better. There are other teams around them that have guys that maybe are closer to their prime, like a Brooklyn. So yeah, I think really psychologically it put them in a position where they thought they were sort of further along in making the climb. And look, in the NBA, for years and years, it's normally about the climb. I mean, we saw it with the Celtics a little bit. You know, you have to be able to be in a position where you can supplant the Sixers. And then the Pistons had to supplant the Celtics. And then the Bulls had to supplant the Pistons. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
And so for them, I think it put them in this mindset of they thought that they were further along in this than they really were. And then LeBron leaves the conference and you're like, okay, well, we don't have to supplant LeBron. Like, we're it. We're it, right? And you weren't.
Pat in Marshfield, I guess, wanted to weigh in on that story I just told about Willie Mays. Go ahead, Pat.
Murray, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Nothing. Good for Willie Mays. Maybe the greatest all-around player of all time. Put you in your place with that
right.
ass-backward Sox-Yankee combo.
Rightfully so. Like I said, you know, now looking back at it, Pat, he was right to roast me. Red Sox jacket, Yankee hat, boy, make up your damn mind. laugh at my expense. But he was right. AT, go ahead. Hello, AT.
Hi, Jim.
AT, phone from you.
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you that I really enjoyed your story about Willie Mays, and I had one of my own. I used to live relatively close to him years ago in California. He lives in Atherton, California. And he did what I thought was one of the coolest, classiest things on Halloween. He instead of handing out, like, candies and stuff for the kids, he was handing out signed baseballs.
Oh, wow.
He had, like, at the time, the Giants, San Francisco Giants, were playing in the World Series. And so he had it kind of going on in the background. And, you know, when he was out of the balls, he kind of shut his lights off, and that was it, you know. It wasn't like he did it every Halloween, but that Halloween he did, and it was just, you know, super cool of him. I always have him in the highest regard.
So is that
glad he's hit 90?
So is that, or if we're around the same age, was that the 89 against the A's, that one?
No. Back just maybe like 6 years ago, whenever that was.
Oh, so one of those three that they were in. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. That's cool. That's great.
Maybe it was like the Royals one. Who knows?
Oh, that's
interesting.
Good for him.
That's really cool. Here's my question. I mean, and I love Willie Mays.
Well, better than stupid M&Ms.
I mean, I'm a little cynical, though. Like, if I were Willie Mays, I'm assuming he has, like, you know, kids or whatever. I'd be like, look, these kids bug me on Halloween. Sign a bunch of balls with my name. We'll put them out, and like, I'll shut the lights off.
Oh, imagine that haul! Oh, if you left like the bowl of balls, I would have taken that whole bowl and then put them all on eBay.
You totally would have done that,
even as a child. All right, I want to get your thoughts on. We'll continue to take your calls on Celtic stuff and everything. What's going on with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay?
Okay,
because that whole thing feels like it is. I'll tell you, like, just from some of the commentary, we'll play some sound from Brett Favre. It feels like it's just done. Like, I think it might be done. So what's he going to do? Just be like the game show host now? Go host Jeopardy? But I want to get your thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers situation with the Packers. We'll get to that next on Gaspar Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chris Gasper.
Oh my God.
And Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think I know Aaron fairly well. And honestly, I just don't see him coming back and just saying, all right, let's bury the hatchet. Whatever caused the rift. I'm just going to come back and play because I love the guys. I love the Green Bay fans. I assume that he does, but his rift isn't with the fans nor the players. It's with the front office, you know. So will he just swallow his pride and come in? Maybe, but I don't see that happening. If there's not a trade, my gut tells me that he'd rather sit out than play. That's just my gut. There's no reason for me to say that other than that's just what my gut's telling me.
So
and I think you guys know Aaron fairly well enough to sort of feel the same way.
Yeah, I tend to agree with the copperfit pitch man, Brett Favre.
Oh, God. He's like NFL Toby Keith. I'm done with him.
He really is. That's a
enough.
Great analogy.
Enough of him. Enough. Enough with this guy.
Why do people keep putting microphones and cameras in his face? He's so far removed from being one of the faces of the league. And, like, who really cares? I guess, you know, he had some good commentary on Aaron Rodgers' situation, and I guess he would know it. And I do tend to agree with what he said there. Like, it goes to what I always say, Chris, like, never underestimate the power of spite. And Aaron Rodgers, true. Boy, he loves himself some spite. And you burn him, you're dead to him. I mean, look what he's done with his family. And Phil, yeah. Talked about some of that stuff during this week.
But however, here's the one thing, and I don't want to, like, ruin this before we even get into it. But Favre saying all that stuff, and if anybody would know that Rodgers is capable of burying a grudge, it's Favre.
Well, right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Favre treated him like garbage.
Yeah.
And Rodgers resented him for a long time. And now it's like they're best buds, and Favre has all this insight into him. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think, look, they buried the hatchet. I think it happened publicly 1 year at those NFL honors or whatever, but or maybe it was an ESPYs. I don't even remember. But either way, he's saying, like, well, you guys know Aaron. You know, Aaron always holds a grudge. You know, I think Aaron would rather not play at all. And it's like, well, dude, then why does Aaron even talk to you? Because you treated him like crap. If there's anybody you should hold a grudge against related to Green Bay for the rest of his life and shut them out, it's you, Toby Keith, of quarterbacks.
Where's this all going? Do you think that he is under center for Green Bay at the start of the season, or is someone, maybe Denver, maybe Houston, one of these teams, is someone going to make a deal for him?
Well, there's a couple of factors here. I think, one, you know, now he's married to Shailene Woodley. I don't know. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Okay. So it seems like that is going to dictate where he wants to play. He seems to want to play out west, either from one of the California teams or Denver, I guess, is technically close enough in his mind. So I think that really narrows where he's going. Even though from a football standpoint, coming here to New England, I think, would be the best match. I don't think that's on the table from a lifestyle standpoint and a personal standpoint, unless somebody can convince Shailene Woodley to like this place more than Giselle did. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to push to go elsewhere, but Green Bay is not going to move him until they get a look at Jordan Love. They're going to want to see what Jordan Love looks like in OTAs and mandatory minicamp before they make their decision whether they feel like they can move on from Rodgers or they can't. They could even be in a scenario, Jim, or situation where he holds out of training camp and maybe even the first couple of weeks of the season, and they play Jordan Love just to see what they have. And if Jordan Love's good enough, then okay, you know, we will accede to your wishes and trade you. If he's not, then all right. Well, if you want to play, show up for us. If not, you're retired.
Yeah, I, you know, so Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, was on for his, like, post-draft analysis. They did the 10 questions on Filger and Maz. And so Mike asked, you know, give me a good trade. And the one I came up with was, so now the New York Giants have that extra first-round pick after the trade with Chicago in the draft. Next year's two firsts, following year's second, Daniel Jones, send all that to the Packers, get him in New York. And maybe he doesn't want to be in the East Coast, but it's a marquee team,
yeah.
New York, big media market. Sure. Maybe that appeals to Shailene Woodley, who's the actress.
Is that how it's pronounced? Shailene?
Shailene.
I don't know. Is it Shailene or Shailene?
She's got one good movie, The Descendants. Okay. But all that said, like, it just does feel...
I did like that Divergent series, though.
Was that like... What's the movie I'm thinking about where the...
Yes, it is. It's very similar to, like, The Hunger Games.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah,
they're very similar.
So it's knockoff Hunger Games.
Pretty much. But she's really good in it.
Of course you'd like that crap. so it just, you know, again, like the power of spite, and it just feels like he's been burned. And, like, this is over. It just feels like it's done. And if it was fixable because of his talent, reigning MVP, and I know he's ultimately underachieved and should have another Super Bowl given all that talent and everything, but... Be that as it may, Chris, like, if it was fixable, the Packers, I think, should do everything in their power to fix it, because you don't want a Brady-Patriot situation where, what are you going to do? He goes off to another team. That's probably the end for him anyway. Is he really going to win another Super Bowl with that team? Yes. Like, if you're the Packers, how bad would that be to watch Aaron Rodgers end up going to Denver, New York, somewhere else, and winning a title with them 1 year removed? Because he could definitely do that.
Here's the thing I don't understand, though. I mean, what's his beef? They've been 13-3 and in the NFC title game the last 2 years. They're close.
Well, he hated that they drafted Jordan Love and that he hasn't been involved in some of the personnel decisions. And this speaks to, you know, Brady's empowerment of some of these players and specifically the quarterbacks over the last few years. Like, I think these guys are realizing, like, no, we want this almost like NBAification of the league, which okay. I think would be super interesting for a short period of time, and we ride that sugar high like we did with all the player movement in the NBA, but eventually, and I think we've reached it in that league, it's got old. It really has, and I would hate to see that eventually, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road with the NFL if it does come to that. Like, the first, again, the sugar high of it would be like, holy crap, this quarterback goes here, and Aaron Rodgers is now on the Broncos. A few years from now, when that's happening all the time, I'd just ultimately be annoyed by it, so, like I am with the NBA.
So you're saying initially Gene Deckerhoff would really like it, but then he wouldn't, because you went into your Deckerhoff there.
Did I?
You kind of did.
I had some hot sauce with my burrito during the commercial break.
I didn't mean
to go Deckerhoff on you.
I was like, Gene Deckerhoff's really excited about these quarterbacks moving on initially, but then he's not as excited.
Holy guacamole, Russell Wilson's now in Houston. Aaron Rodgers is in the Broncos. Wow, how about that? Bucks win. I'll dance for you, Chris. See, I'm just trying to get Chris to stay around for another hour. Show normally ends at 2, but they asked me specifically to go to 2:30. I text Chris the other night, like, hey, you know, you're good to go to 2:30, huh? They didn't ask me
No
anything.
One told me. I didn't even think about it. I know the Bruins are on at 3, and the, you know, the pregame show, is it still the Dunkin' Donuts pregame show?
Yes, it is.
The Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show is on at 2:30, which is fantastic. You don't want to miss that. But it didn't occur to me, and nobody asked me to stay the extra half hour until it was you.
Yeah, well, because they probably knew they were going to get a no. Bob and Needham with a thought on Mac Jones. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, guys, first off, I still don't understand why the two of you don't have your own show during the week. I'm going to start with that because you guys are fantastic. But I was going to say, Bob, you guys, you got to give Brett Favre a little credit. He played how many games in a row? I mean, he always blew it kind of, but he was the toughest guy maybe ever. If you rewatch the Minnesota-New Orleans NFC Championship game, that was out and out. That was like, you know, the whatever the gate.
The bounty gate, yeah.
Yeah, the Bounty Gate. He took so much punishment, and that it was, they would have called a million penalties if it was today. But anyways, I was calling about Mac Jones specifically. I actually talked to Kuiper on the ESPN national thing about an hour ago.
Wow.
And I said, I asked him, I'm like, given the way Cam Newton played last year, what are the, I go, can Mac Jones just win the job outright in training camp? Because how in the world can they go back to Cam Newton unless he just shows crazy potential in the training camp? Because I cannot watch that again. And Mac Jones, he can't be worse than what we saw last year. It's impossible. He had 76 yards, 84 yards, 112 yards. It's impossible to be worse. Mac Jones, if it was a wrong pick if he can't beat out Cam Newton that played last year. It's the wrong pick if he can't beat that guy out.
I should say it's like a lot of things. Fashion, who you want to date. It's subjective. It's in the eye of the beholder, and the beholder is Bill Belichick. And so that's the X factor. You and I are all, and Jim, we're all talking rationally, objectively. Of course. Yes, that is correct, everything you said. But there's an emotional connection there between Belichick and Cam. He's invested in Cam succeeding and succeeding for him, and he's going to give him every chance to do it.
And just on Favre quickly, so when he first, you know, flashed, you know, with Green Bay early 90s, like, I was a fan. Like, I liked the gunslinger thing.
Sure.
By the end, it was so nauseating, and he was ultimately kind of overrated. I know, look, Mayo had the back-to-back Super Bowls, only won the one. He was, I thought, a joy to watch early on. By the end, I'll put it to you this way. This isn't anything I should be proud of, but when he got knocked out of the game against the Patriots in 2010 here, I was in the stands, and he got carted off. Oh, man, was I cheering.
Bah, oh, that's terrible, Jim. That's what you can't.
Hey, look, you can't be mad because I just said I'm not proud of it now. I can talk about it and say I'm not proud about it now, so you can't be mad. But at that time, a younger me cheered.
Jeez, man, that's brutal. It's not, I don't discredit him as much as a player as somebody like Felger does. I just think that, like a lot of these guys, just because you were a great player doesn't mean that everything you have to say is newsworthy, noteworthy, or profound. I just want him to shut up. Like, just shut up and sell your copper fit and stay off my TV, you know, otherwise.
Well, I gotta
just sell your stuff and be quiet. I don't know why he's some authority on the NFL or Aaron Rodgers.
And you say he's like a football Toby Keith.
Yeah.
Here's a better analogy from my buddy Colin, who gives, I wish I came up with this on my own, but he's Favre is football Curt Schilling. Like, that's what he's turning into. He really
you think
is.
So?
A bit, yeah.
So I'll be honest with you. I've heard some stuff, but I have no sense of any of his, are his political leanings.
Oh, it's trending that way, yeah.
But is it as severe as Kurt's?
No.
I mean, Kurt's pretty...
Give it time.
Kurt's pretty right-wing, man. I'm like, he's pretty hardcore right-wing.
I think he's...
Like, I could see Favre being conservative. And look, let's just be real about it. Like, a lot of these athletes are what I would call sort of fiscal Republicans. They're just like, man, I make all these millions, and the government's taking this. So then they align themselves really for, you know, financial and tax purposes. I mean, is that Favre, or is he really, like, hardcore?
Oh, I think it's trending the Schilling way a little bit.
Because, you know, like, Schill would have been there on, like, January 6th if he could have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he loved that.
You think Favre would have been there for that, you know, handing out copper fits?
Give it time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, couldn't you just see Favre like, hey, buddy, if you're going to wave that Confederate flag, you need a copper fit to do that. Your wrist will get real sore. Here you go. Take this copper fit so you can wave that Confederate flag.
Just before we go to break, too, I want to shout out my man Nick at Whistle Go Woo Woo on Twitter, who said, I, too, was in the stadium cheering when Favre went down. My father was giving me all sorts of crap about it. See, Nick, again, you
terrible.
Did it. You don't have to be proud about it. We're not proud about it now, but we lived that experience. And at the time,
When's Favre opening his bar at Patriot Place?
Brett Favre shooting and drinking. Man. Oh, those!
Really like that. Speaking of wings, didn't you like the wings? You liked that Toby Keith.
I did like the wings there.
Yeah,
I
you liked that Toby Keith.
We watched some of the games there, you and I, before, and I enjoyed the wings there. But there is one thing that bothers me to my core as being born and raised here. It's how did this place, the most enlightened area in the country, end up liking country and country music as much as it did?
Of America.
Chris, never in my life did I expect that would happen. I know that you have some hard-headed rubes here, and there's certain areas of New England that are like the deep south of the north. But when it came to actual, like, taste in music, never in my life. A younger 20-year-old me would think, people around here like country music? Country festivals? Never. Oh, man, they love it so much. What's happened? What's happened with you people?
What's that text you sent me the other day, though? You said dur-dur-dur music you call it?
Dur-dur-dur, I got my truck and my gross girl, got my dog, let's have a time. It's all the same crap. Every band, every song, they're all the same themes. I'm drinking, I'm doing, I got my dog, I got this stupid truck, let's go get guns. Oh, I hate it. All right, we have, again, we're going till 2:30 today. You want to join the show?
What do you mean, we?
Well, I am going until 2:30.
There will be some sort of broadcast emanating from the studio until 2:30.
See if I can guilt Chris into staying. You want to join us? 617-779-0985.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Is 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We know that Tuca's on his game, and we know that Swayman's played well for us as well. So a little bit will depend on Yarrow, how we sort through the last couple, but you can plan on after tonight, Tuca get two of the last four, and we'll see where Swayman and Yarrow fit in after that.
I want to get your thoughts on this real quick, too, Chris. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5, a sports hub. That's Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy talking about the backup goalie situation a few days back. This was actually prior to the New Jersey game, the loss to the Devils, that Yaroslav Halak started and then blew it and then had the meltdown on the ice and continued to do so as he was coming off the ice. Silver lining there. Sometimes, I've said this with the Bruins now, last few weeks, sometimes there's silver linings with losses. You got to take the good with the bad, and I think there is some good that comes with this. The jigsaw is falling into place for the Bruins postseason the way that I and other Tuca doubters want it to. You had Jeremy Swayman with another shutout, his second since he's been called up in the win over New York on Thursday. Not a lot of effort by the Rangers. Been a tough week for them, only 15 shots. Be that as it may, another shutout for Swayman. You have that meltdown by Yaro Halak and the loss to the Devils. A few weeks ago, Tuukka Rask shows you he's still got the Tuukka poopas. And he's pulled in a loss to lowly Buffalo. He's pulled at 4-1. Yaro Halak again blows it against New Jersey. Swayman solidifies that he's the backup with that second shutout. So we know what's happening. We know what's going to happen as the Bruins wrap up the season, head into the postseason. Your number one is Rask. Your number two is Swayman. All we need now, for those of us that are tired of Rask, that narrative, all a matter of time before he blows it somehow, either on or off the ice, it's now set up. Now we just need a couple of bad games from Rask, or, you know, hypothetically speaking, I say we're in a first-round series with, say, Pittsburgh. It's tied 2-2. Big game five. And it goes to Pittsburgh because Rask does Rask things, and I'm not seeing the puck well, whatever. They lose 5-1. They just have to have sack enough to say, we've seen enough, too. We're going to the kid. The Cinderella story is ready to take off. They end up winning that series. Swayman takes them all the way to the Cup. Bruins win the Stanley Cup. Because of Jeremy Swayman. I can feel it in my bones. And you know me, I'm the eternal pessimist, Chris.
Yeah.
It's the jigsaw is falling into place. It's all coming together. This is what needs to happen. It's set. It's ready. We just need Rask to comply.
Do you think there's any possibility it could go this way? That Jeremy Swayman is Tuukka Rask, Jimmy Garoppolo? That it pushes him and pushes him over the hump? And maybe in sort of the way that Tuukka had to push Tim Thomas?
Rask doesn't strike me as that guy. Like, I'm going to lose my job to this kid. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's the one thing that like bugs me ultimately about Tatum. Do the losses really bother you? Nah, I don't get that from him, and I don't get it from Rask. Like, I just think it's a job to both of those guys.
But is it a little different for Tuukka now because his contract's up? And Tuukka has stated that this is the only place he wants to play. So if you want to come back, you have to play outstanding in the playoffs because Swayman, to me, has shown that the Bruins could just move on. And he could be your number one goalie. I mean, they have pretty good depth in the organization between Swayman, Vladar, Kyle Kaiser. And then you could just go out this offseason and sign some veteran guy other than Halak and go with Swayman, and you'd be fine. So if Tuukka wants to keep playing and wants to play here, he needs to play really well. So maybe this is just the push that Tuukka needs.
And that's some good facilitating by you. I mean, gun to my head, I say no, because, again, I don't think he strikes me as that guy, but who knows? You know, you never know what motivates a man. What do you think? I mean, is my scenario plausible? Or you think
no, your scenario is very plausible, except for I just, you know, this organization and what we've seen from Tuca before, I kind of feel like they're ride or dies for Tuca. I don't know enough about Cassidy, but I feel like that type of decision is not just a Cassidy decision. It's a decision that's made with Cam Neely, Don Sweeney, and Butch Cassidy. And I think that if Cassidy decides that he wants to move on from Tuca, it's not something where in an individual game that's not going well, can you just pull the plug? Sure. But like Swayman's our guy to start, you know, this series. Hey, we got out of the first round. Now we have this other series and it's against, you know, whoever. Now we're going to go with Swayman from the jump. I could see a scenario where they use Swayman, go to Swayman to just get them through a series that's not going well for Tuca, and then go back to Tuca. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I could totally see them doing that.
Oh, God. Oh, the torches and pitchforks that would be out, because if they did that and then Rask blows whatever that series is. Oh.
I think their hand is really going to have to be forced, and by the time it's forced, it might be a little too late and asking a little too much of the kid to just carry you Ken Dryden style.
I'm telling you, it's in these situations, Chris, we've seen it before. Like, sometimes, like, a player is too young and dumb to realize the gravity of the situation. I feel like you would get that with the kid. I mean, look,
he's good.
He's
man.
Highly touted for a reason. The kid's, you know, extremely talented. But sometimes when you're just thrown into that situation, and I think a good example of this was a guy that continually crapped his pants up until 2018 in the postseason. David Price. People forget, 2008, he comes in like a relief role for the Tampa Bay Rays, and he's like lights out and nails because he was too dumb and young to realize the gravity of the situation. Like, he wasn't thinking about, like, oh, you know, the duck's in the water and the legs are always going crazy underneath the water, and you're thinking. Like, no, you just get in there and throw. In this case, with Swayman, you just get in there and you stop those pucks. Like, I'm telling you, I can feel it in my bones. That's what has to happen. We'll get the Cinderella story with Swayman, but we just need... We need things to break another way here,
Do you think the whole story with them is in net, or is a lot of it about, you know, what's happening up front? You know, Taylor Hall seems to have completely reinvigorated David Krejci, and that line's, you know,
he's
going.
He's reinvigorated himself. He's even good defensively.
Yeah,
like,
no,
all that narrative,
really,
and I believed it, like that he was like kind of a, you know, a lazy underachiever. I haven't seen anything like that since he's been a Bruin.
Yeah, it's true. No, he's been really good, and it sort of helped out their whole team. Hopefully, you know, Coyle's healthy here, and they can have enough forward depth and enough secondary scoring to get through the playoffs. That's been kind of the killer for them. How do you feel about your blue line if you're the Bruins? Do you think they have enough now that Carlo's back?
As long as they stay healthy, yeah.
Do you think that? Okay, so are you
that area is more about health than anything else?
I agree, but are you counting on Kevin Miller, or is he just gravy at this point?
Oh, he's just gravy. Gravy on one knee, one knee that's ready to blow at any moment. Again, that's like a fault line. You know, you just hope that doesn't blow. But needless to say, if you can't tell, like, I'm very excited about the potential of a Bruins deep run in the postseason. It's like the complete opposite of the Celtics, where I'm looking at them with like arms crossed and like, let's just get this over with, pull off the effing Band-Aid. Speaking of the Celtics, let's go to Billy and Taunton, who has a thought on them. Go ahead, Billy.
Hey guys, I just want to answer the guy who said 7 foot is easier to make than a 20-footer, and that depends if there's a tree in your way. And I think we were talking about the offense, but he doesn't realize that Golden State team back when they did, before Kevin Durant, they had a great defense, and Steph Curry could shoot like 50-40% from three, which is much more valuable. Contested layups, and I think he's missing the point on that. What are your thoughts?
No, it's a good point. I mean, it's a good point. Yeah, the seven foot shot, if it's uncontested, but it's the 7 foot shot is also harder to get and create space for. So yeah, I think that's a valid point. And their team defense was excellent, and Draymond gives you a little bit of rim protection there. But I just think he's sort of looking at it. He was looking at what is an antiquated view of the game. That's not to say that big guys don't matter, because the really talented ones do. Jokic, Joel Embiid, but they have to be the really talented ones now. It's not just like, oh, anybody who has a big, you know. I don't believe that. And also, you sort of have new age bigs that have. I think Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett were new age bigs. They were kind of different guys. They could step out. They could handle it a little. They weren't your traditional pivot men, traditional centers. And even a guy like Anthony Davis is a big, and he's really good, but he's not your traditional type of big. So if you have a really good big with a lot of talent, yeah, sure. I mean, I've always said this. There's more margin for error in the league when you're tall than when you're small. You see it with guys like Kemba and Isaiah Thomas. There's no question about that. But the idea that you absolutely have to have just some big guy to clog the lane to win a championship, no. Like, who's going to be the center? Who's the center for the Brooklyn Nets? It's DeAndre Jordan, who's at this point in his career, you know, really
in the shell of himself.
Yeah, he stinks. So I don't think he's very good at all. So I don't think that's who's the center for the Bucks. It's small ball lineups. Obviously, it's Giannis, you know, but it's not like it's you need to have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the middle to win a championship.
All right, so we're gonna do five questions for Chris Gasgrid at Nothing to Do with Sports. And then we're going to go into the final. Well, I am going to go into the final 30 minutes, extra 30 minutes.
I think that question number five should be, are you staying or not?
Well, you already beat me to it. Well, let's get to it here, and then we'll find out whether or not Chris will stay for the final 30 minutes. Hit it.
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of Channel 5. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five.
Question number one, Chris, help me understand this because I still can't find a good answer, so maybe you're the guy for it. Tonight on Saturday Night Live, Tesla founder Elon Musk is hosting the show, to which some of the worst and whiniest on the internet have gotten their proverbial pitchforks and torches and are ready to protest and not watch and cancel SNL and all this. Why are people mad about Elon Musk hosting Saturday Night Live tonight?
I don't know. I mean, you know, he has a habit of saying things that are not necessarily politically correct. So I think that's part of it. That's the only thing I can think of. But I don't know. Elon Musk is kind of like the real life Tony Stark, you know, without the Iron Man costume. Like, he just doesn't care what other people think. And he says like a bunch of crazy stuff, and he's really rich, and he's always hanging out with incredibly beautiful women. So I just feel like he's a very polarizing force. And I think he said some things, like I said, that are not necessarily politically correct. And
was it
he,
COVID stuff? Like, that was, you know, there. I've seen some hints of that.
I know he like kept his factories open when the state of California was telling him he wasn't supposed to. He's had a bunch of like controversial things that he's said. I think I'll be honest with you. I feel like there are some things he said that really border on sort of misogynistic. So I know that has alienated people, and people feel like he's a little bit of a misogynist. So I can see where people would not be thrilled that he's hosting. Honestly, I'm not thrilled about it because I just don't think he's going to be very funny. Like,
right.
He's not going to be very good.
Yeah, so that might be the benefit of this, though, is he can just, like, trash him if he's terrible, which he likely will be. And if the writers and some of the cast don't want him there, they're not going to benefit him. So he's going to have to come up with crap on his own, which I'm sure will be terrible. Because a guy like that isn't going to be inherently funny. And just as an aside, too, I think I've said this before, but let me say it again as we're talking about Tesla and electric cars. Over my dead body.
It's coming, man. You can tell, like, all of the car manufacturers who are now out there advertising their electric car. I think by 2030 we'll be majority electric vehicles.
Over my dead body. I am Richard Murray's son. I will drive a gas guzzler to the day I die.
I think you're going to get to a
jail
point.
Jail me. Come get me. Come get. I will never ever drive an electric car. Well, I'll walk. Say they move the station to Needham. Melrose to Needham? Fine, I'll take a bike. Whatever. I'm not driving an electric car.
You will. First of all,
Chris,
a lot of these electric cars, the performance, like if I were to drive, you know, a Tesla P90 and race you in your car, I would blow you off the road.
It's my right as an American to have a gas guzzler.
Well, what about your right as a citizen of this planet to do your part to preserve the planet?
One big bag. Hashtag one big bag. Question number two, Chris.
One big bag.
Have you ever had a situation when a stranger stepped in to help you?
I know this has happened. I'm just trying to think of a good one. I mean, I've definitely had ones where, like, you drop something, like, oh, sir, you dropped your wallet, you dropped.
How about, like, real help? Like, you blow a tire, you've been helped on the side of the road, that kind of thing?
Not that I can really think of, no. I mean, I've been the stranger helping somebody.
I've given myself the stranger.
Yeah, I've...
If you don't get that reference, Google it. All right, question number three. You wait till it goes numb, and then You've been given, so say a stranger did this for you. You've been given $25,000 and a plane ticket to anywhere in the world, but you got to leave tonight. No COVID restrictions, hypothetically. Where are you going?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's really tough. How about, how about Santorini?
Where's that? Italy? Somewhere?
Greece. Okay. Greece. Yeah.
Any specific reason you ever been?
I've never been. It's supposed to be beautiful. I would definitely like to go and check it out. Other than that, my second choice was going to be Singapore.
Oh, I'd like to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a Southeast Asian country.
I've never been to the Asian continent.
Cuisine is a lot of spice. Yeah, I'd love to go there. So Tokyo, I'd love to see Japan.
That's a good one too.
10 whatever the hell years ago it was when they ended up having the tsunami there that devastated the country. Like my buddy and I were planning to go. We're ready to go, buy tickets, and then that happened. It's like, well, that's never going to happen. Next. What's an unwritten rule for the grocery store, Chris? Not standing, parking your cart in the middle of the aisle, touching every single piece of fruit. Like, what's an unwritten rule you have for the supermarket?
Do not touch every single piece of fruit. The other unwritten rule I have is, and this is different. I realize finances are different for everyone, but do not get into the checkout line and pay with a check, or if you're going to do so, do not wait until the very last second to whip out your checkbook.
Mine at this point is like, hey, don't yell at me about the arrows. Like, we're past at this point.
No. Come on. Yeah. You're one of those people. I would yell at you. That's so annoying. Just follow the arrows. It's not that hard.
The one thing I have preached my whole life, put it on the headstone. The greatest gift you can give to another human being is to not inconvenience them. It's not that big a deal. You're going one way, I'm going the other. I'm not near you. We've given each other the 6 feet. F off. Finally.
You're terrible.
Chris, are you going
to... I would want you arrested. That is one of my pet peeves. I'd be like, arrest this fool for not following these guidelines. Going up and... It's not that hard. Just go up one aisle, down the other. It's actually more efficient and effective.
You're getting more steps, too. Yeah, come after me for that in the electric car. Final question. Question number 5. You staying?
I am staying. Hey! I'm staying for this extra half hour. It'll be fun. I'm sure it'll go by very quickly. And then after this, I'm sure you're going to drive your gas guzzler to the supermarket and accost people following the rules of the supermarket, going down the wrong touching all the fruit, and then you'll pay with a check at the end.
Give those oranges to the stranger. See, you sit on your hand and look. All right, we'll stop here. We'll get a commercial segment, then we'll get to the headlines. And then final 30 minutes here with Gasper. We'll get to your calls, couple open lines, too. You want to join us, 617-779-0985.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.